continue our journey through the Siddur, through the prayer book, as we go through our morning davening prayers. And we're about to start a series. If you're following along in the book, we're going to be on page number 19, in the English, 18 in the Hebrew, a series of blessings, 15 blessings, actually. Most of them, the first 14, very short, back to back. And they're all in a theme. They're really in a theme. A great way to start the day. Really, if you remember, the first thing we started with totally was gratitude, moda'ani, thanking Hashem. And we explained how important that is. And that really is what's going to lead to a happy day, appreciating what we have. And now we're going to get into that in more details. We're really going to go through a list of different things we are grateful for. And a person can wake up in the morning and be upset about, you know, their job or their house or whatever else they see around them. And if they would just count all their blessings, appreciate all the things that they do have and how important they are, their ability to walk, their ability to move, to talk, all those different things, and who they are as a person, that would make them so much more grateful and so much more appreciative and joyful. And it's a really great way to start the day. These blessings were really said as the day went on. So then as you, let's say, walked, you would make the blessing on walking. But like we've mentioned before, for convenience sake, and because we're not always in the, you know, we don't have a prayer book with us, we're not always, it just doesn't work out to say that like that as it happens. So it's been organized into a list of 15 things. We already had blessings, if you remember, one on our body and one on our soul, very important. And here I would say it gets a little bit more specific, going to specific things that we are grateful for within those general categories, I would say, of body and soul. We're going to focus this week on the first four. The first one, of course. And then the next three actually go together. So let's see. Baruch Atah Hashem, and again, we've explained this blessing. The first six words are always going to be the same. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Hashem, you are the source of our blessing. You are the our God, the King of the world. We understand that the following that we're about to say is all traced back to you. That's the importance of blessings. And here's one thing. Asher nasan lasech v'bina lavchin ben yom ve'n layla. That gave heart understanding, meaning he gave our heart, our self, our mind, an ability to understand, to distinguish between day and night. What's going on here? Now, actually, the word that's used, if you look in the Hebrew, is a very unique word for the word heart. The typical word for heart in Hebrew is the word lev. That's what it should use. But it doesn't say that. It says sechvi, because sechvi has a dual meaning. It also means the word rooster. Now, the word rooster also is a more, there's a more typical Hebrew word for rooster, a tarnagol. But it doesn't use that word either. It uses this unique word, sechvi, which can kind of mean both. It means the heart and means the rooster. Now, the sentence reads well if you just change that, who gave the rooster understanding to distinguish between day and night. And this, of course, refers to the fact that early morning, one of the first things up is the rooster crowing, and he'll be able to tell you when morning is. So what are we thanking for? What does the word mean? I think it's a few things. I think they really do go together. We're thanking Hashem for creating this world. I think the most important line here is to distinguish, or understanding to distinguish. We're really thanking Hashem for our ability to understand and use our brain in the world around us. So we appreciate that we have that understanding when day is, so that we can start our day. And we have that ability to interpret the crowing of the rooster to wake us up and get us out of bed. There are other, you know, meanings in this. They say why the rooster specifically will start crowing when it's still dark outside. only when like slight light on the horizon, which is a beautiful message about how even in the dark times in life, the metaphorical dark times, we should still realize that day is coming. And we should understand that that's already daytime and joy is coming. So we thank for that fresh start of the day. And importantly here, as a human being, to be able to determine that fresh start and feel that new beginning. And no matter what happened yesterday, we can start again as seen from our own understanding. Okay, I hope that is clear. The next three blessings are very important. And again, like I said, there we'll see they're a series. They're important to understanding who we are, a little bit about gender roles in Judaism and in life. So let's read them all together, and then we'll analyze them a little bit. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Blessed are You Hashem, God, the King of the Universe. Shelo Asani Goy, has not made me a non-Jew. Just to clear some misconception, there are people out there who think Goy is a derogatory term. The word Hebrew word Goy means nation. That's what it means. So it's just a nation. It's just a term for any nation in the world. Anyone. The Jews are also actually sometimes called a Goy. It's the nation of the Jews. But it just became popular that when we refer to nations that are not our own, we say a Goy. There's nothing really bad about it, but we are saying, thank you, Hashem, for not making me a Goy. And we'll explain why. I mean, why are we grateful to that? Why is that a good thing? Let's keep going. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shehosani Aved. Thank you, Hashem, who has not made me a slave. Thank you for not making me a slave. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shelo Asani. Well, here, actually, I got ahead of myself because I was saying what I say. But there's actually two versions here. This is unique. This is the only place in the entire prayers where there's a difference between what men say and what women say. Aside for this, men and women have the exact same prayer. We're not going to have two separate podcasts for men and for women. It's all the same. Maybe some will focus. Maybe they'll have different meanings and different understandings. Of course, each individual has their own understanding of the prayers. But the prayers are the same, except here. And so men say, Blessed are you, Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shelo Asani Isha, for not making me a woman. Thank you, Hashem, for not making me a woman. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shehosani Kirtzono. The women say, thank you, Hashem, for making me like His will. Okay, so there's a load of questions. I know I kind of said all these blessings matter-of-factly, and I hope people are still listening. I didn't turn anyone away. But a lot of these blessings are very interesting, and there's a lot of questions. And so that is, of course, the way that we like to do things, the way the Torah likes to do things. Let's ask questions. Let's uncover and see what the hidden depth is here. What are we thanking for? Meaning, we're going to see we're thanking for eyesight and for ability to walk. What are we grateful for? Why is that a good thing? Now, maybe some people feel they have obvious answers, but what is it? And there's actually one of the cases, the many cases, that I find that Jewish law actually teaches us a lot about the deeper meaning. Let me explain. There's a lot of details and specifics in Jewish law of exactly how to do things, when to do, what do you do if you do something wrong. And people sometimes view them as overly specific and overly like obsessive. And I find that as you delve deeper into the laws, there's really deep messages coming out of that, and you get a better insight into Judaism, into life. And so let me give you an interesting example right here. There's a law that goes as follows. It says that these three blessings have to be said in order. That if you go out of order and you say, thank you, Hashem, let's say if you're a man, I'm going to speak like that more because I am a man. Thank you, Hashem, for not making me a woman. At that point, you would no longer say the other blessings. Now, what's the logic for that? What does that have to do with anything? And weird is like, yeah, the whole slave is interesting. And so the commentaries explain what this blessing is about. It's not about what, I'm not sure what anyone else is thinking about what you're being grateful for. But the commentaries say this is all about mitzvos. I don't know if we've defined mitzvos so well. Sometimes mitzvos are understood as good deeds. But the real word mitzvah means a commandment. The Torah, Judaism, has commandments, has responsibilities. A lot of them. Now, not everyone enjoys responsibilities, but we understand as mature adults, as Jews, that responsibilities, I don't even know if we could say they're good or bad. They're opportunities. As you become more mature, you get older, you're given more responsibilities. And sometimes people don't want those responsibilities. They say, why do I need that? I wish I could be a kid. I think they have a term, adulting. People don't want to adult. But mature people understand that that's called reality, and that's good. While it can be hard, and sometimes it's nice to just go back to being a kid where you could just play with your toys, that's really what life's about. It's not about playing. It's about taking on responsibilities. Now, is that good? Well, if you fulfill your responsibilities, then you can come out all the better, come out so much bigger. If you don't, then you're actually much worse off. So you can think of this in any number of ways. But again, as people get older, or maybe as you advance in your career and you move up, you'll get more responsibilities. Is that good? Well, if you do it, yeah, it's good. You'll get paid more. You'll get more appreciated. You'll feel more accomplished. But if you fail, then it's not very good. We're thanking Hashem for different mitzvos. That's what we are. That Hashem has given us more responsibilities. Non-Jews have very few commandments, very few mitzvos, very few responsibilities with regards to the Torah, with regards to morality. From the Jewish perspective, they actually have seven commandments, seven mitzvos, basic moral: don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't worship idols, basic things, some sort of justice system. Jews, the count is 613 mitzvos, commandments. Now, well, that's like a kind of exaggerated number. Nobody really has 613, but we do have many, many mitzvos. That is true. So the first thing we say is, thank you, Hashem, for giving me more mitzvos than a non-Jew. We continue on because slaves, or I should say Jewish slaves, that's what it's really referring to. Now, the point here is not whether you should have slaves or you shouldn't. I don't know anyone who does have slaves. When we said there was a real a concept of a Jew having a slave, and they had commandments too. They were really, if you look at Jewish practice, they were very much part of the family, and they were assumed to be practicing mitzvos in Judaism also. Not all the mitzvos as a free person, but many of them. So we thank Hashem that we're not slaves. I mean, this is why it has to go. And I don't even know if I would ask you what's better, to be a non-Jew or to be a slave. Depends with regards to what. And here, what I'm saying is, you see how the Jewish law reflects the idea of what we're trying to teach us here. The fact that it can't go out of order means that each one is successively better and improved. And if you were to jump and say, thank you, Hashem, for not making me a woman, you would kind of include the other ones. Now, how does that make any sense? Or in this way, if I start and say, thank you for not making me a slave, how does that assume that I'm not a non-Jew? And the answer is that it has nothing to do with my position, my freedom, my liberty. It has to do with my mitzvos. That's what these blessings are all about. we thank Hashem, we start our day, thank you for giving me that responsibility, and more responsibility than a non-Jew, and even more responsibility than a slave. Now, the next step is that men say, thank you giving me more responsibilities than a woman. So let's talk a little bit about this, the difference between men's blessings and women's blessings, and a little bit about the difference between men and women. So that's, that's statement number one. There is a difference, according to Jewish thought, between men and women. That's why they're two different blessings. What is the difference? So first, just we've been talking about mitzvah, so let's explain for those who are unfamiliar. Women don't have all the mitzvos that men have. Well, let's explain it like this. What I also want to, and just one more question here, is what does that mean, made me like his will? Why don't women say thank you for not making me a man? Now, based on what we said already, that wouldn't make sense, because if I'm talking about thank you for giving me more responsibilities, so overall, when it comes to mitzvos, men have more mitzvos than women. So why would a woman say that, thank you for not making me a man? So what does that mean, thank you for making me like his will? And of course, you know, Judaism and take on gender is a big discussion. We're just going to talk about what's relevant to this prayer, but I think it's actually very telling on a lot of how we view the difference between men and women and their role. And it goes like this. It's told to me like this, that when a girl gets married to a guy, she says, you know, he's such a great guy, he's perfect. I just have to change a few things, you know, get him a new shirt, a haircut, the way he pronounces certain words, a couple of small minor changes, and he'll be good as new. What does a guy say? She's perfect. I hope she doesn't change a thing. See, girls say he's good, but I just want to change a few things. And guys like to say he's perfect. She's perfect, and I just don't want her to change a thing. And that's interesting. It tells us really spiritually what men and women's job on this world. And there's concept where women, we have a job on this world. Everyone has a job on this world. And that job takes place on a lot of different levels. We have a unique job that's specifically suited for ourselves, our goal in life. And then as human beings, there's a job. And as Jews, there's an overall job to stay clean and stay proper. Not clean, that's not the right word. But to, well, let's explain. See, women are born in a proper state, and their job is to not lose that. Almost like, you know, they're born on the top of the mountain, and their job is not to fall down, to keep them that state up above. You have like you're blowing a ball in the air, right? You're blowing a ping pong ball in the air, and you have to keep it elevated. That's a woman's job, to keep herself elevated, not to ruin herself with the various distractions we have this with in this world, anger and jealousy and all the other terrible things. A man, on the other hand, starts at the bottom, and his job is to make it to the top of the mountain. Okay? It's more of a concept. It actually plays out itself biologically, where a woman is born with all her eggs and slowly loses them, as opposed to a man who isn't born with any seed and slowly and gains them as he goes on. Plays out slightly connected. And so those are the difference between men and women. And therefore, the mitzvos that we have, we said 613, however many mitzvos we have, all the commandments that we have, are there for ourselves, are there to better ourselves. And because men and women have different roles, so they have different amounts of mitzvos and different types of mitzvos. So on men's trek to, you know, to the top of the mountain, there are certain mitzvos that they need. Primarily, men have a big problem with authority. with listening, you know, understanding that there are people greater than them. That's why you'll see men off wear yarmulkes. We cover our heads. And yarmulkes to remind us what's on top of us. Women don't seem to have that. They have other problems, other challenges. That's not the challenge that they have. I'm talking, of course, in broad terms. Again, if I didn't lose any audience yet, there are men who have women, female qualities, feminine qualities, and women who have male qualities. But conceptually, men, male and female as they exist in concept, are connected in this way. And so men have those extra mitzvos. Are those good? Well, like we said before, they're a responsibility. If you do them, that's good. If you don't do them, that's a problem. And so because we have different roles and we're born in different positions, our mitzvos are different. That's probably why women were often have the role traditionally of raising the children, because they're in that top of the mountain. That's how we want to start our children's life, with that sense of purity that comes from women. There's a lot there. I encourage pushback. That is certainly the way of Torah, the way of Judaism. Question, answer, discuss. So I definitely encourage anyone to reach out to me if there's anything that I said that was not clear, or you don't agree about something, or you want to discuss it further. But I think that's the basic understanding, again, that of gender roles, that as explains to other things. And that's how it plays out very nicely over here. Women say, Sharsani Kritsona, you made me like your will. You made me on top of the mountain, how I want to be. It's not like better in any way. It's not worse in any way. It's just a different role. The role is to stay on top of the mountain. That's how you made me. And we continue, men continue to make blessings, thanking Hashem for all the mitzvos, for all the commandments. Thank you for not making me a non-Jew. Thank you for not making me a slave. And thank you for not making me a woman, giving me more and more mitzvos. If I were to start with that statement of not making me a woman, well, if I'm not a woman, meaning I'm a man, then I already have all the commandments. It wouldn't make sense to keep, to go backwards. So that's why it has to be in order. That is, we'll stop over there. Those are the beginning blessings, the first four of the 15. Again, thanking Hashem for giving us the understanding of the daily schedule to be able to realize when day is coming, specifically seeing the light within the darkness, to connect to nature, to be able to understand nature and how the rooster crows, and that's how we know when to get up. And thanking Hashem for responsibilities. That's what we do. We appreciate it. While many people try to run away from their responsibilities, we as Jews say thank you. Thank you for doing that. I'm going to do my best, if you give me the strength, to rise to that challenge and to fulfill those responsibilities. Thank you for trusting me in so much. And for the women, they say thank you for making me in that elevated state where I need slightly less responsibilities, but I'm kind of born innately holier, more elevated. And so each one says their own unique blessing. And that's really the theme of all these blessings, to appreciate what we have. Again, someone wakes up and says, I'm good. You know, they'll get frustrated, upset about their job, about their life, about different parts. If we just appreciate what we do have, don't look over at your neighbor. Don't look over at, oh, what men have, what women have, what non-Jews. Look at yourself, appreciate who you are and what you have, and be grateful for that. And that's how you'll have an awesome, joyful day. Okay, be well. Have a good week. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.